Let me begin the message with a little levity. There was a pastor who had finished preaching, and he hurried to the back to shake everyone's hand. And he shook this one particular man's hand, and he pulled him to the side. And he said, "You know, you need to join God's army." And he said to the pastor, "Well, I'm already part of God's army." And the pastor says, "Well, how come I only see you on Christmas and Easter?" And he whispered to the pastor, "I'm in the Secret Service." Would you stand, please, for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I pray right now that you would prepare the hearts to receive the incorruptible seed of your word. As your word, the seed of your word, goes into their ear gates, I pray the very seed of your word would find good ground in their hearts, be planted deep, and in time bring forth fruit. Holy Spirit, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Wisdom, give us the illumination, the revelation. Stir on the inside of us a desire to chase after your word like never before. I pray you use my tongue as a pen of a ready writer, and as I burn for you today, that your people would hear your voice and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've chosen the scripture passage, 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will join me there for those who have your Bibles. If you're there, say amen. First Timothy chapter 6, we'll begin at verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, of course. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we cannot carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's the falling away. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Verse 12, which is my focal passage. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight a good fight of faith. I've chosen the title, this message, Soldiers in God's Army. And basically, soldiers means that you're serving in God's army as a believer. Some of the objectives I have for this message, one is to encourage you in your good fight of faith. And two, explain how, as a believer, you are a soldier in God's army. Next, identify two different kinds of soldiers and reveal that the battle belongs to God. And lastly, an example of how to fight a good fight. Okay, so I will make an effort to talk quickly so we can get you out here before the Baptist comes. Soldiers in God's army encourage you in the good fight of faith. Well, the fight of faith simply means that you're contending by faith. At the very core of our Christianity is faith. At the very core, what we believe. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen." Probably the most important word in that passage is the word N-O-W, now. Because it sets the right tense. It's not past tense, nor is it future tense. It is present tense. What are you saying and doing now to describe your faith? Now, faith is a substance. That word substance in the Greek is a, and I'll be using some Greek words in this message. So substance is a word in the Greek, hypostasis, H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S, hypostasis, which means foundation. So now faith is the foundation, is the very foundation of what we believe, what we're hoping for. It's foundational. So without it, you have no foundation. But with it, all things are possible. James 1 and 2 and 3 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces what? It produces patience. So there's something as a result of what we're going through as a Christian, as a soldier in God's army, that's causing us to grow from glory to glory and to be victorious in what we're doing. So the word patience here is the active patience. And in the Bible, there's a passive patience and an active patience. Well, passive patience is when you're sitting at a bus stop and you're waiting, as opposed to the active patience where I would call you bench pressing. For those who understand, know about bench pressing, it's endurance. It's working the upper body. It's working the triceps, the pecs, the back, and it's making you stronger to take on more weight. So the patience of what you're going through is that product, is that byproduct of that enduring in faith, is the byproduct of what we receive, patience. We're receiving patience. As a believer, you are a soldier in God's army. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are to please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier." And 1 Corinthians 11, 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." A good soldier is a good follower. A soldier knows his enemy. Ephesians 6 describes to us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, if you know anything about soldiering and warfare, whenever you wrestle, that is close contact, isn't it? That is very close contact. I mean, you're not launching a nuclear missile. You're in close contact. You're wrestling. You're going through the issues of life. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in high places. And so with that understanding, we fight a good fight. Every soldier needs to know who his enemy is. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It is Satan, the enemy. The Bible also says that in John 10:10, a thief cometh, but what? To steal, kill, and destroy. It describes a thief. In that particular passage, Jesus is describing someone who doesn't go through the right way, but goes around the way. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So a thief tries to subvert. He tries to go around. He tries to do what only he does as the enemy. The Bible also says that we should stand against the wiles of the devil. And once again, the word wiles in the Greek is a word called methodia, against the methods, against the craftiness, against the deceit of the devil. His desire is to deceive us. His weapons are to deceive us. You think about that for a minute and you begin to understand why he wants to deceive us, because he knows who we are in Christ. He knows the victory in Christ. And he knows that Revelation says that in the end, there's a pit, a bottomless pit for the enemy. Amen? Do we know who we are? That's the key. John 8:32 says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Know who you are in Christ. Know the word of God. Know what it says about you, that you are a soldier in God's army. And soldiers have to soldier. Say that with me. Soldiers have to soldier. One more time. Oh man, that sounds so good. I can stop right now. We've already accomplished quite a bit. Your confession that what you've already said to me, soldiers have to soldier. Let's continue. Soldiers in God's army. I've identified two kinds of armies. I had the privilege of being a soldier myself in the U.S. Army, and so I'm gonna compare the U.S. Army, man's army, with God's army. Man's army is sworn in with an oath of enlistment. God's army is through confession and surrender. Romans 10:9 says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you are saved. Amen. Orientation in man's army and basic training, discipleship and training and deliverance in God's army. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly divide the words of truth. Next in man's army is a duty station assignment. In God's army, there's ministry. Ephesians 4, which talks about the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the preacher, the teacher. The apostle is set apart, but he's the only one that can touch all the others. The prophet is always pointing to Jesus. Thus says the Lord. The evangelist is the longest one. He's always on the outskirts. He comes in, he goes back out. Ooh, I love this one here. It's the pastor. It's the ring finger. He's in relationship. He smells like sheep. Close relationship. And then the teacher can get into those little small places that only teachers get. The fivefold ministry. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. Next, in man's army, there's the equipment and the weapons. Well, when I was a soldier, we had the M16A1 rifle. We had jungle fatigues and boots, shelter half, and that shelter half is half of a tent. Where's the other half? Well, your buddy has the other half. So you work together while in the field. Then we had what's called an entrenching tool. An entrenching tool. What is this? This little thing, and you fold it out, and it's a little small shovel. So you dig trenches around your tent to flow the water away from your tent. An entrenching tool. And then there's a mosquito net. Well, it depends on where you are. I've been stationed in Panama, in the jungle, and there are a lot of mosquitoes. Then there's a parker or poncho. When I was stationed in South Korea, they issued us a parker, and it had fur around it because it gets real cold there, and the snow gets mid-thigh, and it's very cold. Well, the poncho in Panama caused torrential rains. In God's army, Ephesians 6 describes the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation. That usually begins your Christian walk. And you keep it firmly on your head. Shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're bringing peace. You're bringing light. Some of what we do in the jails, we bring the light in the dark places. The breastplate of righteousness. The belt shod with the preparation of truth. The shield of faith. And I believe that shield of faith, I believe that shield is like it goes all around your body. Because they are backstabbers. Because the enemy is a backstabber. Then there's the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon. Amen. The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God describes the sword of the Spirit as a two-edged sword. And as I'm up here and I'm teaching, I'm releasing God's Word to you, it's cutting you today. But it's also cutting me with its two edges. The full armor of God. Then there's the banner of man's army, the American flag, stars and stripes. You look to that flag as an American soldier. And in God's army, our banner is Jehovah Nissi. It's a Hebrew word that was used in Exodus 17:15. As the children of Israel and Moses got the defeat over the Amalekites, Moses constructed, he built an altar and he called it Jehovah Nissi, the one who's gone before us and prepared a place for us, prepared victory for us. And then in man's army, the advance to management, from sergeant and above. In God's army, it's advancement to mentorship. Luke 12:48 says, much is given, much is required. And finally, in man's army, there are more promotions that come. In God's army, there's godly favor. And Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Just compare two armies. Next, reveal that the battle belongs to God. Well, we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 20. Remember King Jehoshaphat and how he was surrounded by three kingdoms, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir? And he did something. He began to pray. You ever find yourself, your back against the wall, a situation that you didn't create yourself, but yet you're involved with, and you need to take action. But you remember that you are a soldier in God's army. We're not our own. We've been bought and paid with a price. And Jesus is our banner, and God is with us. Amen, church? Amen. King Jehoshaphat was surrounded by these three kingdoms. And he prayed to God. He said, we have no power against them, but our eyes are on you. Who are your eyes on? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. Hebrews 13:5 says, God will never leave us nor forsake us. The battle does not belong to you. As a believer, the battle does not belong to you. God is with you. Amen. Place it. Place all your cares upon him. Place them at the foot of the cross. He's with you. He cares for us. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is one of my favorite passages, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So the totality of what we're doing every day, and it's this, if there's a snapshot to it, it's the trust. Whose report will you believe? When the times when I go into the jails and there are situations that may be gone on, and it's a dark place, it's a spiritually charged place, but I go with the light of Jesus Christ. Without the light, I will not venture into that situation. But with the light, I go boldly, because God has gone before me. Soldiers in God's army. Church, you getting anything out of this? Amen. Amen. Y'all can shout me down now. I don't feel bad. Example of how to fight a good fight. One of the best examples I know is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Well, of course, it's dealing with David and Goliath. And sometimes, you know, in life where we see that what we may think is an insurmountable situation, with God, all things are possible. And here, young David was faced with a situation. And out of it, I just pulled a couple things that I thought would bless you. Of course, Goliath, they said, was the Bible describes him as 6 cubits and a span, which for me is like a little over 9 feet. So that's about like this, okay? I mean, that's pretty tall, right? But to David, his God was, our God, was even taller. And he remembered the lion, the victory of the lion and the bear. He remembered his past victories, which teaches us to rehearse our victories. What has God done for you lately? Well, by looking at you, I see you in your health and your strength, hopefully, your right mind, and you're breathing the breath of life. You see another day. Truly, that's something to praise God about. Amen. You have your freedom. Truly, something to praise God about. So David said a couple questions I want to highlight about 1 Samuel 17. His two questions is, once he got there and his daddy told him to go and take these foods to his three older brothers. And he said, he got there and he's like, little young David, and he's looking around and he's listening. And he hears Goliath defy the armies of the Lord. And apparently he's been doing it for 40 days. Come on. That's over a month. Huh? 40 days. And the armies of Saul were cowering. The Bible says they were dismayed and afraid. There's a difference. Of course, the dismay is how you respond is a sudden response to a report, a situation. And all of your courage is gone. You're frozen. And so Saul's army was frozen. Here comes David. Here comes a soldier in God's army. And he's like, you know, what is, he asks the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Well, first of all, David realized that Goliath did not have a covenant with God. He did. You do. You have a covenant with God. And then second question that David asked, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to be courageous, to soldier, to take a stand? Righteous indignation. Is there not a cause? Yes, there is a cause. Yes, the cause is Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price so that we would have the right, not just to eternal life, but to walk victorious here on earth. A good soldier knows the enemy. A good soldier knows his weapons. A good soldier understands his identity and covenant. A good soldier rehearses his victory. How am I doing on time? Okay, good. Okay, thank you. I'm nearing a close because I know. I understand. I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior task and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and I am a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier. I am a soldier in God's army. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Spirit is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, or candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all my need. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven-bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? Would you please stand as we close in prayer this portion? Father, thank you that we are soldiers because you first paid the price through Jesus Christ. I pray the word of God that goes through will do what only it can. As your word declares, your word goes forth, does not return void, but will accomplish what you intend, and it will prosper into that which is sent. We thank you for your word, Father. We cherish your word. Your word uplifts. It's encouraging. It's fortifying. It's given us the victory today. We came in here one way. We leave encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.